Fantasy football.
It's time for One Dude with a Fantasy. One dude with just one fantasy. Okay. Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app. Bo Johnson gives you the latest fantasy football updates, picks, and more to make sure your team is a winner.
Look, I don't know what sort of twisted fantasy you've concocted.
One Dude with a Fantasy is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Bo Johnson.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. This is Bo Johnson. I am that dude. And welcome to week four of the 2024 fantasy football season. Like always, if you want to participate in the show, hit me up on Twitter at Jedi Sports Radio. That is the easiest way and the most frequent thing that I check. You can also hit me up on IG, send me a DM, send me a text, hit me on Facebook if you want to. I'm on there every now and again. But like I said, week four is officially underway. We had Thursday night football just a couple of days ago. Dallas Cowboys and the Giants, kind of a big old snooze fest. And before we get into Thursday night football, let me give you a preemptive warning. Bye weeks start in week five. It is time to be looking ahead. Hopefully you've already kind of been doing this. You want to look ahead at your bye weeks and make sure that you have a plan for those players who will be on bye. Make sure you're looking at players that are coming off of the IL or IR, whichever one the NFL uses these days. I think they are the IR, baseball's IL, one of those. So be looking ahead at the bye weeks. And then, of course, dreaded week 14. There are six teams on a bye in week 14. That is the week before the fantasy playoffs start. I don't know what the NFL was thinking, having six teams on a bye so late in the season. It's gonna be great for some of the teams, I'm sure, to rest late injuries. But what are we doing, NFL? Exactly. Starting bye weeks in week five and then having six teams in week 14. Anyways, I digress. So Thursday night football, to put a little recap on it. Not much to see here. Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants 20-15. As far as fantasy football is concerned, you know, Dak has a pretty decent night, 22 for 27, two touchdowns. He scores you 17 points. Finally, the coming out party for CeeDee Lamb that we've been waiting on. CeeDee Lamb has seven receptions for 98 yards and a score. He gets you 24 points on the afternoon. He was the highest scorer out of Thursday night football. Rico Dowdle is the Dallas Cowboys running back you want if you have to start a Dallas Cowboys running back moving forward, and you might have to as we have bye weeks starting to come into effect there. So Rico Dowdle, you know, nothing special here, nothing to call mom about. He rushed the ball 11 times for 46 yards. He gets you 13 points. And then Jake Ferguson, who is a pretty good top-of-the-bucket tight end guy there for you. Jake Ferguson has seven receptions for 49 yards, and he gets you 12 points. Over to on the other side of the ball, not a whole lot of fantasy goodness with the New York Giants, and that's going to be the case for most of the season. Daniel Jones, who had a couple of good games, only comes through with 10 points for you. He goes 29 for 40, 281 yards, but does not throw any touchdowns. So if Daniel Jones throws a touchdown or two, maybe his day is a little bit different. He does throw a pick, and in most leagues, that is a negative. Devin Singletary, big letdown here as Devin Singletary was going up against the defense that has allowed the most fantasy points to the running back going into week four. Of course, Devin Singletary is no Alvin Kamara, and he definitely is no Derrick Henry, so I guess that was the difference there. Devin Singletary, he does touch the ball 15 times. He has 14 carries, and he had one reception, but he only lands you with five measly little points. He had 14 carries for 24 yards. So it's not like Devin Singletary is the top-of-the-mind starter for you on your fantasy team, but you may have to use him moving forward once we get into bye weeks. Just check that matchup. There's a lot of other guys that you could probably get off of the waiver wire this week that are touching the ball and doing a little, or having a little bit more production than Devin Singletary. As soon as the Giants fall behind, and they will fall behind quite frequently, Devin Singletary is going to be kind of phased out of the game. So, you know, be that as it will, I would keep Devin Singletary on your team, but be careful where you use him. Wandale Robinson, we call him the New York Giants receiver you want to own that's not named Malik Nabers. Wandale Robinson has a good night for you. 11 receptions for 71 yards. He gets you 18 points. And then Malik Nabers, story of the afternoon, or the evening rather, on Thursday. 12 receptions, 115 yards, does not score. If he has a touchdown on there, you're looking at 30 freaking points there. Malik Nabers, 23 points to the house after Thursday night. The most important story about Malik Nabers out of Thursday, though, as we roll into our week four injury report, Malik Nabers leaves this game with a concussion. So, obviously, he already played in Week 4. This is the Week 4 injury report. Malik Nabers is likely not going to play in Week 5. You don't see it too often where a NFL player can make it all the way through concussion protocol in just 1 week. Just not set up like that. So, keep an eye on it. I guess the best day of the week would be Thursday to get a concussion as opposed to Sunday, but there are no real days that are great for getting a concussion. Keep an eye on this. I'll keep you informed with what I hear, but Malik Nabers not likely to play next week because he is in concussion protocol. There are other players that got concussions in Week 3, Austin Eckler being one of those. He has already been ruled out, but Devontae Smith and Trey McBride, I would not expect for those players to play either as they got concussions in Week 3 and are still in the concussion protocol. Keep an eye on those two guys. As we can continue down our injury report here, let me speak for a couple minutes on Christian McCaffrey. So the Christian McCaffrey thing, Christian McCaffrey's already missed 3 games. He has to miss at least 2 more. He was placed on IR. Christian McCaffrey flew to Germany to see a specialist with his Achilles tendonitis. All right, so he's trying to get ahead of a Achilles injury. And he went to Germany to go see a specialist there. Now, we have specialists here in the United States, but the only problem with getting treatment in the United States is the FDA. There are a lot of things that you can do in Germany, a lot of things you can do in Europe, a lot of things you can do in South America, frankly, that are not technically FDA approved. That does not mean that they are bad treatments. There are specialists over in Germany that do some stem cell type treatments. They take your own body's good stuff and put it in your body's bad stuff. Very similar with what QC Kinetics does here in the States. And they try to heal you up like that. So with tendonitis in your Achilles, and I'm no medical expert, I only am reporting what I read. With tendonitis in his Achilles, he's trying to get ahead of it because he doesn't want that Achilles to snap. So I'm not sure when Christian McCaffrey is going to be back with us. Like I said, he has to miss at least 2 more games. It's not like you can get a whole lot of value for Christian McCaffrey these days. He has a big name value, and we expect that Christian McCaffrey is going to play at some point this season. We just don't know exactly when that's going to be. So keep an eye on that. The best thing for me to recommend that you do is just keep him stashed on your IR, on your fantasy team, and just hold on for him. If you're in a dynasty and you can get anything for him, now is when I'm trying to do that, though, or maybe after he comes back. But look, we have no clue. We don't know if Christian McCaffrey is even going to play again this season. So I've seen it go down in a couple leagues that I'm in where, you know, the Christian McCaffrey owner still got a pretty good trade based off of name value. Hell, he played 16 games last season and was the highest scoring fantasy football player that's not a quarterback by 100 points. So the upside for Christian McCaffrey could be enough for you to get some pretty decent trade value there in your league. It'll just kind of depend on, you know, who's in your league and what kind of stuff they're listening for. So it is not a good situation with Christian McCaffrey. You know, it's going to be several weeks before we see him back. It's going to be at least 2, but probably more than that. So see what you can get if you can. You know, there is a add player to trade block little feature there in most fantasy football leagues. And once you do that, once players know that he's available, you know, they might start tossing you some offers or take a look at some other teams. They might have a team that's pretty deep with wide receiver. Maybe have a couple running backs they can get by with, and they just want to stash Christian McCaffrey on their bench. I would trade him if I'm in a dynasty. I'm right now, I'm out. I don't like this Achilles news, this whole situation with Christian McCaffrey. That's why I tried not to draft him if I didn't have any number one picks overall this season, but it would have been the guy that I would have went for. So don't feel bad if you are that McCaffrey drafter. That was the right decision. Don't second guess that. I told you that last week. That was the right decision. He was the right pick to make. Nobody else that was drafting the top 10 is having like smash down seasons anyway. CeeDee Lamb had a good one on Thursday, but after that, you know, not a whole lot of them are performing yet. They will. Let's talk a little bit about Tua Tagovailoa. So Tua with the concussion thing, Tua's probably not going to play for quite some time as well. I think Snoop Huntley is going to play for him this Saturday. I think Skylar Thompson was the guy they went with last week. Who knows? I would not trust anybody not named Tyreek Hill on the Miami Dolphins as it pertains to their wide receivers. Devon Achane's still going to be a fine little piece there. Raheem Mostert's going to be back vulturing touchdowns at some point. But as far as the pass catchers go, look, Tyreek Hill, and I don't know if this is just, you know, skill set of Tyreek Hill, he can score a touchdown off of a screen pass for 90 yards on any given Sunday. So I like Tyreek Hill still. I don't love Tyreek Hill moving forward. If I have a better guy, which you probably do, even somebody you may have taken in the second or third round that's outperforming Tyreek Hill, by all means, you don't have to leave him in your lineup. Jaylen Waddle, I'm fading until we get better quarterback play. Maybe Snoop Huntley is the guy. I'm not going to play him this week. Unless he's my only option. Tyreek Hill, I probably am going to leave him on lineup just because of his ability to make a big play and to break a big play at any time. Jaylen Waddle, I'm fading, though. Look, maybe Huntley comes in and tears it up. Maybe he comes in and has at least a decent day to where he can afford to get both wide receivers some points there. But as for now, Tyreek Hill is the only guy that I'm trusting, and I don't even trust him all that much. As we move on down the injury report here, George Kittle is expected to play with that hamstring injury. And some good news on the wide receiver front for the San Francisco 49ers. Debo did practice this week. We do not know. He's still carrying that questionable tag with San Francisco 49ers this week. Marvin Harrison Jr. with the Arizona Cardinals did practice this week, and there's no real concern about his quad injury, so Marvin Harrison should play. Like I said, Trey McBride is out. Rolling down to the Falcons-Saints game, Bijan Robinson was limited on Thursday with a shoulder injury. I don't think there's any situation where we're going to see Bijan Robinson not play. As far as the New Orleans Saints go, Alvin Kamara has been the biggest name this week. Practiced limited in a limited way on Thursday. He is dealing with hip and rib injury. Alvin Kamara is carrying a questionable tag. I don't think that he's not going to play. You should look for Alvin Kamara to be out there. At least if you're a Saints fan, you better hope that he is, because Saints don't have a whole lot of depth at running back, and you're not going to play either one of those guys if Alvin Kamara sits. Chicago Bears, Rome Odunze did practice on Thursday, has a hip injury, carrying a questionable tag. Keenan Allen, who did not play last week because of a heel injury, had a limited practice in on Thursday, so keep an eye on those two guys. With the Cleveland Browns, David Njoku has officially been ruled out with an ankle injury. That really sucks right there, because David Njoku was a guy that I drafted a lot of in late rounds of the draft, who was productive in the only game that he played so far this season. And over to the Detroit Lions, Sam Laporta is a questionable with that ankle injury. Going to talk a little bit about tight ends a little bit later, or in the next segment, rather. A lot of people worried about Travis Kelce and what's going to go on with him. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, and because there's not a whole lot you can do there in that situation. Then on to the Houston Texans, Nico Collins is on the injury report, as well as Tank Dell. Nico Collins has a hammy. He did practice yesterday. Joe Mixon with an ankle was also practicing yesterday, so those guys should be good to go. I'm a little bit more worried about Joe Mixon than I am Nico Collins. Keep an eye on those. Evan Ingram with the Jacksonville Jaguars is listed as questionable to play on Sunday. That's probably going to be moved to a doubtful tag later on today. I do not expect Evan Ingram to play. And then Devontae Adams listed as questionable as well with a hamstring. Those hamstrings are sure cropping up right here in the first few weeks of the season. It'd be wonderful if we had some games before the actual season started where these guys could get out on the field, practice a little bit, you know, maybe call it preseason or something like that. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here. And then Justin Herbert with the Los Angeles Chargers with a horrible matchup and the high ankle sprain. Limited practice on Thursday. Keep an eye on that one. I'm not sure if I'm going to start Justin Herbert even if he does play. Don't like that one bit. That's going to do it for our injury report. When we come back, we're going to have a little tight end discussion. I want to talk about some tight ends that have underperformed this early part of the season. Then we're going to get into some quarterbacks, and then in the last segment, we're going to go over some fire and ice with some wide receivers and some running backs. This has been One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, more One Dude with a Fantasy.
It's cool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. This is Bo Johnson. I am that dude. We got two segments left. Like I said in the first segment, you can get in touch with me on the Twitter machine. I am at Jedi Sports Radio. You can also find me on IG. If you can find me on Facebook or have my phone number, by all means, go ahead and get in touch with me there too. but please be sure to find me no matter how you do it. So before we get into some quarterback fire and ice action, I want to talk a little bit about tight ends and how tight ends have been this season. Not necessarily a fire and ice type conversation about tight ends, but really just a tight end scoring in general. And I think most of you or all of you are aware that Travis Kelce has been somewhat absent this season, and that's probably even a nicer way of putting it. Travis Kelce has 15 total points on the season. And look, I know you hear me say this a lot. Wait on tight end. Wait on quarterback. Tight end was the deepest that it's ever been this season, which is why I don't own a whole lot of shares of Travis Kelce. But it's not just been Travis Kelce this season. It's been a lot of the tight ends, or most of the tight ends. You could probably even say that scoring's been down for the entire position. Hell, offense as a whole in the NFL has been down this season, and I'm sure that that won't last. Teams love scoring points. We love watching teams scoring points. And, you know, I don't know if this has anything to do with the teams refusing to play their players in preseason. You know, the Chiefs sure as hell played in preseason. Travis Kelce played in preseason. So there are X factors there, but that could be it. Teams are still, you know, getting used to each other. There's chemistry. We have different dudes on different teams. So all those things probably play a factor into scoring being down. But as far as the tight ends go, look, Mark Andrews is another example of one of these guys that went early. He probably went tight end number 3 overall of tight ends, that is. And he's only scored 12.5 points this entire season. He put up a complete dud last week. So where the hell has Mark Andrews been? Look at his replacement, Isaiah Likely. Isaiah Likely had a great week one. Sent everybody to the waiver wire to pick up Isaiah Likely, and he's had a couple of down weeks that followed that. The number one scoring tight end in the league last year, who, if I'm not mistaken, set a record for most points scored by a tight end in one single season, Sam Laporta only has 17 points this season. The other guy that we were looking at, I think that was probably drafted in the top 5, was Trey McBride. He has been all right. He scored 32 points through 3 games, but as a whole, most of these guys have not, come through. Now, there have been some tight ends that have. We were all over Brock Bowers at the beginning of the season. He went very high in dynasty drafts, but he was even drafted late. Brock Bowers has been the second best tight end in football, in fantasy football this season, rather, at 12.5 points per game. He's put up almost 40. And then Dallas Goedert, who saw that coming? We all knew Dallas Goedert was a great tight end, you know, but we didn't see him being through 3 weeks, the highest scoring tight end. So will that last? I don't know. He's putting up 13.5 points a game. And that's even still not super high. I think George Kittle is beating him at 14 points a game, but he's played one less game, so the sample size is bigger for Goddard. So the only advice that I can offer you as far as Travis Kelce is concerned, if you have another tight end on your bench, if you're one of those psychopaths that drafted 2 tight ends or maybe even 3 or 4 tight ends, and look, I get having a backup, but it's just not completely necessary. Maybe this year it's going to pay off for you if you did take Travis Kelce like in the second round or wherever he was going. So if you got a couple options here. If you have Travis Kelce on your team and you have somebody better that you can start, hey, try to trade Travis Kelce by name value. He is going to come out of this funk. I don't know if it's because he partied all summer, didn't work out. I highly doubt that. The Chiefs are 3-0. You know, he doesn't have to make excuses for himself. He is drawing double coverage on just about every play that he plays. He is on the field, although he only has like a 12% target share. That's kind of weird. It's been kind of Rashee Rice the entire season because that's what teams are giving Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes has not been lived up to his draft stock, and he really hardly ever does. The only quarterback that's lived up to where he was drafted thus far in the NFL has been Josh Allen. You know, but Josh Allen is quarterback uno nuno in fantasy football and has been for a few years now. So all I can say about Travis Kelce is that this will not last. But if you have a Chiefs fan, if you have somebody that might want Travis Kelce by name value, hell, maybe they're a Taylor Swift fan, that could be a thing. Trade him. See what you can get. Throw out some trades out there. You never know what's going to happen when you get that trade talk working with one of your league mates. So if you can get something, anything for Travis Kelce, I wouldn't sell him for, you know, 10 cents on the dollar because he is Travis Kelce, and he is not. I don't think Travis Kelce has hit that wall yet. All right. Every player hits a wall at some point in their career. Travis Kelce is 36, if I'm not mistaken. I just don't think he's at that point yet, but he does hold strong name value. So if you can get him, get something for him, by all means. It's the same thing with Mark Andrews. Now, Isaiah likely is the tight end of the future for the Baltimore Ravens. I just don't think Mark Andrews is done yet. Mark Andrews was involved in that car accident over the summer. Don't know if he's still battling back from that or what. Just has not looked himself. And then you look at Sam LaPorta and Trey McBride, they haven't really been great either. So I would chalk this up right now anyway, and this is going to be a week-to-week thing. Fantasy football is by all means a week-to-week game that we play. So if this continues for, you know, another week or two, maybe we're going to reevaluate, and I don't know if we're going to get to where we're going to drop these guys. We might take a little bit less in a trade for them. You know, that can very well happen. So all you can do is bear with these guys, and that's the only advice that I can give you. I have no idea why Travis Kelce has only scored 15 fantasy points this season, all right? But the Chiefs are 3-0, and Travis Kelce is a team player, and he could care less probably about his production. Of course, he wants it to be more, but he could care less as long as his team's 3-0 about him getting the ball, because he is doing his job in other aspects of the football field, and that is providing open lanes for a guy like Rashee Rice. So all you can do through 3 weeks is not freak out, stand pat. If you do have some of these other guys, you know, if you did draft Brock Bowers, if you have Cole Kmet, Mike Gesicki out of nowhere is doing great with the Bengals over there. If you have one of these guys that you probably drafted in the 12th or 13th round, go ahead and start him. You know, Kyle Pitts, who has not been a complete dud, he's getting 8 points a game. He has a great matchup this week versus the Saints. He's one of those guys that kind of has to prove it this week. He's right there in the middle of all the tight ends, though. So sit pat. I don't think Travis Kelce, I think he's going to end up paying off where you drafted him. He should not finish the season as tight end 20, whatever he is. But I think better things are ahead, if I can put your mind at ease just for a little bit. All right, let's move on to some quarterbacks here. We're going to start with some fire quarterbacks here. Look, there's a couple names on this list that I would have never thought that I would be mentioning on One Dude with a Fantasy as being a quarterback that you can roll out there and fire up on a weekly basis. But here he is right here on top of my list. It's going to be Geno Smith. Look, Geno Smith's put together a pretty decent season so far. Only 3 weeks. That's all the only sample size we have. I'm well aware. But Geno Smith, quarterback number 13 thus far in the season. The Lions are a middle of the pack team as far as air yards given up. They're giving up 217 yards a game. Geno Smith should have a pretty good game here. You're probably going to hear from one of his receivers when we get into wide receiver fire and ice, and that's one of the reasons why I put Geno Smith in here as a fire pick. So fire up Geno Smith this week versus the Lions. The Lions do give up plenty through the air. All right, and here we go. Sam Darnold versus the Green Bay Packers. No, I would have never thought that Sam Darnold would have ever made it onto a fire list on One Dude with a Fantasy, but here we are. Doing a great job filling in over there with the Minnesota Vikings. Having Justin Jefferson does not hurt. He's quarterback 4 in fantasy points per game thus far in the 2024 season. He ranks 5th in yards per attempt, 4th in passer rating. That's in the NFL. 4th in passer rating through 3 games does Sam Darnold rank with the Minnesota Vikings, filling in greatly, nicely for J.J. McCarthy there. The Packers are give up the 8th most passing yards per game at 222 per game, so you can look for Sam Darnold's early success to continue. And Caleb Williams, I know Caleb Williams has been a mild disappointment for you. You probably didn't draft Caleb Williams in a whole lot of leagues to be your starter. I have Caleb Williams in a league as my quarterback 2 in a super flex. But look, he was quarterback 12 last week, his best week of the season. He is a rookie. These guys are going to grow. He threw 52 times last week, and that's not going to continue this week, but it is a very tasty matchup. The Rams have given up the most fantasy points through the air, the 4th most passing yards per game, and the 2nd highest passer rating in the NFL of all team defenses. So if we're going to fire up Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, and Caleb Williams, who are we going to fire them up instead of? How about Jared Goff versus the Seattle Seahawks? Look, Jared Goff, hello, no secret, quarterback 24 through 3 games this season. Seattle's only given up 397 pass yards this season. That's the entire season. 3 games, 397 pass yards this season. That's 132 yards per game. Don't look for Jared Goff to have a very good game this week versus the Seahawks. And then, look, this one I do not like putting on my ice list, but you kind of have to at this point. I do not think he's going to stay there. He is a guy that I really like this season, and I would not drop Anthony Richardson. But he is playing the Steelers this week. The Anthony Richardson was quarterback number 4 in week 1. We all thought this was going to be a great thing, and it still will be, in my opinion. Then he was quarterback 21 in week 2, quarterback 31 in week 3. He hasn't been running as much as I thought he was, and that's where these running quarterbacks really pay off is with their legs. He still ranks top six among quarterbacks in carries per game, rushing yards per game, and red zone carries per game, which that's a very important one. But the Steelers are the fifth stingiest defense versus the pass. They only give up 158 yards per game. And with Anthony Richardson, look, until he gets to where he can pass the ball accurately and not turn the ball over, he's going to run the ball. I just gave you some stats right there. He is one of the best runners in the league. All right, but as of now, at least as of this week, I'm putting Anthony Richardson on my bench. And that goes kind of with his receivers also, Pittman, Pierce, and Downs. You know, with Anthony Richardson having a not-so-great season to start out, at least through the air, it's going to put a damper on his receivers too. That just kind of makes a little bit of sense there. And then how about Matt Stafford versus the Chicago Bears? Matt Stafford's quarterback 30 in fantasy points per game this season. So if you have Matt Stafford, hopefully you haven't been starting him a whole lot through three games, or you haven't had to. If you did wait on quarterback and got stuck with Matt Stafford, better things should be coming. But I stay away from the pocket guys if I can. I like the running guys, which is why I took a lot of Anthony Richardson this season. But the Chicago Bears have given up the seventh fewest pass yards per game at 165, and they do hold the lowest passer rating versus opposing quarterbacks in the NFL. All right, that's going to be it for our quarterback fire and ice. We're going to come right back with some wide receivers and some running backs. Y'all remember last week when I told you some guys that had a pooper get off the pot? Well, we're going to see how they did on the other side of this break. This is One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Now, it's time for Fire and Ice. Which players are on fire? Which players you should put on ice? On One Dude with a Fantasy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. I still got to get the cadence down on that. But anyway, Bo Johnson here with you. We got one segment left. We are going to talk about some wide receivers and some running backs here in our final minutes. Please get in touch with me throughout the weekend. I know it's Saturday morning. You got lots of decision-making to do Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning especially. Get in touch with me. I am at Jedi Sports Radio on Twitter and IG. You can send me a DM if you want. You can hit me right there on Twitter. You can text me. You can get me on Facebook. Whatever you got to do, just find me. So we're going to run through some wide receivers here. And look, this first one that we're going to ice is a guy that had a very successful week one. And then hasn't done anything for the past 2 weeks. And I tried to advise people about usage with players in fantasy football. All right, if your team doesn't use you a lot, you are of no value to me, or of very little value, rather. All right, the first player I'm talking about here is Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy has the Chargers this week. Xavier Worthy gets a 12% target share with the Kansas City Chiefs there. He had two receptions in each game so far this season. All right, he did have two receptions in week one. Maybe he had three in week one, but he turned two of them into touchdowns. He scored 20 points. Everybody comes to work the next day. They're all fired up about Xavier Worthy. Well, not so fast, my friends, because Xavier Worthy isn't being used enough by the Kansas City Chiefs to warrant me starting him every week. We all remember DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson was a very similar guy to Xavier Worthy. Now, DeSean Jackson did go on to have several thousand-yard seasons and ended up being a fantasy commodity, but early in his career, he was a boom-or-bust guy, and that's what I consider Xavier Worthy right now. He has two receptions, this season per game. That's not enough usage for me. 12% target share is not enough usage for me. This has been the Rashi Rice Show this season for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to continue to be the Rashi Rice Show. Is Xavier Worthy going to have days where he booms? Yes, he is. But look at thus far in the season. We've played three games. He has one boom game, two bust games. And that's probably about how it's going to be, one out of three or so. Once we get into bye weeks, which start next week, if I'm not mistaken, for some teams, for whatever reason. And then we've got that horrid week 14 with six teams on a bye. Once we get into bye week, Xavier Worthy's going to be a fine bye week fill-in, but to me, that's the only place I'm going to play him until his usage improves. Another guy that's gotten off to a pretty good start of the season, but I'm not going to use him this week, is going to be Darnell Mooney of the Atlanta Falcons versus the New Orleans Saints. Look, Darnell Mooney's had a great couple of last weeks, 18 points and 15 points respectively, but the Saints have allowed the sixth fewest PPR points to perimeter wide receivers this season. That's where Darnell Mooney lives. I think Darnell Mooney is going to be a fun player moving forward for the Atlanta Falcons, especially in fantasy football. He is going to sell in nicely as that wide receiver two to Drake London. He might even end up eclipsing Drake London as the wide receiver one because It does not seem that Kirk Cousins and Drake London have gotten on the same page yet, but that will happen. So I think Drake London's going to be fine. But Darnell Mooney, I am icing Darnell Mooney this week versus the Saints. You're never going to bench, really, probably Drake London, unless he goes up against one of those, Patrick Surtain types, one of those elite cover corners. But Darnell Mooney, I am going to bench this week versus the Saints. And then Quentin Johnson versus the Chiefs. Quentin Johnson finally found the end zone last week. The Chiefs, though, have allowed the 13th fewest receiving yards per game to the perimeter. That's where Quentin Johnston lives. Johnson's going to run about 93% of his routes, or at least he has through the first three games, on the outside. So I do not like those Kansas City Chiefs. However, on the same team as Quentin Johnston, we're going to get into our fire picks now. It's going to be Ladd McConkey versus the Kansas City Chiefs. But, Bo, how can we not start Quentin Johnston, but we are going to start Ladd McConkey? It's because of where these guys line up. Ladd McConkey lines up mostly in the slot. The Chiefs have now faced the third most slot targets, and they've allowed the fourth most receptions and 10th most receiving yards to those inside slot guys. So, out of that Chiefs and Chargers game, I don't like Quentin Johnston, but I do like Ladd McConkey on the inside there versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Another guy we're going to fire up this week. This one should be pretty obvious to you, but I see a lot of people still having a little bit of doubt about Bills receivers here. But the guy you want to start for the Buffalo Bills, at least through these three weeks, it's kind of starting to suss itself out there. As the Bills have a lot of kind of number two receiver guys. We didn't know which one coming in was going to be the guy that was going to get the most targets from Josh Allen. Thus far, it's been Khalil Shakir, and that should continue versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have allowed the 11th highest PPR points per target, and the fifth most receiving yards to slot receivers. Shakir lines up in the slot about 80% of the time, so I do like Khalil Shakir this week. And then give me some Jaxon Smith-Njigba versus the Detroit Lions. The Lions have allowed the third most receiving yards to the slot position. JSN plays about 85% of his routes out of the slot, so I look for a good week this week from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the second-best wide receiver on the Seattle Seahawks. I know that Tyler Lockett did have a good game earlier in the season. I say earlier in the season, it was 2 weeks ago. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba is to me, taking the number two receiver position from Tyler Lockett. He may even supplant DK Metcalf this season. So we'll see. Stay tuned. I love Jaxon Smith-Njigba this week. Another team where the wide receiver position has kind of been very foggy, but it is starting to kind of clear its way there, is going to be the New England Patriots. So I do love Pop Douglas, DeMario Douglas this week versus the 49ers. He had a 35% target share last week. The 49ers have allowed the most receiving yards and the highest PPR points to opposing slot receivers this season. DeMario Douglas is an 80% slot guy. So I love DeMario Douglas this week versus the scary San Francisco 49ers. All right, let's get into some running backs here. And I'm going to start here with my running backs that were supposed to have pooped or gotten off the pot last week. And wow, out of the three running backs that I featured in that little segment, none of them did their business, and they all three need to get off the pot. Now, when I say get off the pot, I'm not going to drop these guys. I would be open to trading them, although their trade value is not going to be very high right now. And we're going to start with the guy that was on the top of our list last week, and that was the Chicago Bears' DeAndre Swift, who came through with 6 points in a plus matchup last week. So for those of you counting at home, that's 6 points last week with a great matchup and only 8.2 in his best game thus far this season. I would not look for that to continue. And I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to drop these guys. I would consider trading, but with very little value, what are you going to get? But it's not like DeAndre Swift being challenged a lot by Roschon Johnson or Khalil Herbert. None of those guys are coming to take his job as of yet. And that's the same with the other two guys as well. Their backups aren't playing well either. It's just that their teams aren't running the ball successfully thus far in the NFL season. Zamir White, Zeus, another guy with a plus matchup last week, only got 3.5 points. So Zamir White, with his highest game of the season, been 7 points. It's not like Alexander Mattison has been doing much better. Alexander Mattison did get the touchdown Sunday, but it's not like I'm starting Mattison in any matchups any week until one of these guys starts to kind of separate from the other one. So Zamir White, we do love the opportunity this season with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's been waiting his time. I think it is going to happen for him eventually. But Zamir White, just like DeAndre Swift, another Georgia dog, you're sitting on the bench until bye weeks come up, or you can prove that you are going to take this job and run with it and be a successful running back in the NFL. And then our third guy, Javonte Williams, another guy with a plus matchup, another guy with a not high point total. 7 points last week. Javonte Williams has had a little bit more success than the other two guys this season, but his highest point total so far is 11.5, and Jaleel McLaughlin hadn't been any better either. So I don't think any three of these guys are in any kind of position of losing their job. They are going to lose carries to their backups, but their backups haven't been successful. So until one of these guys separates themselves for the backups or the backup takes the job, I'm putting all three of these guys, DeAndre Swift, Zamir White, Javonte Williams, on my bench until backups or until bye weeks do start to happen. I do have another guy I'm benching all three of those guys. I do have another guy or a couple of guys that I do have as an ice running back pick this week, and that's going to be Carson Steele and Samaje Perine of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Los Angeles Chargers have allowed 6 fewest rushing yards per game. And do y'all remember Kareem Hunt? Well, Kareem Hunt has been elevated off of the practice squad and will be in a Chiefs uniform this weekend. So that might mean that Samaje Perine is droppable. I'm keeping Carson Steele around. I'm not starting him this week. I don't think Kareem Hunt's going to run in there and take either one of these guys or take that number one rushing job. It's probably going to be Carson Steele on first and second down, Kareem Hunt on third down and in pass game situations. But we'll see. We'll see how he looks on the field. So hold on to Carson Steele. You could probably consider dropping Samaje Perine if you do have to pick up somebody in another spot. But ice and Carson Steele this week. And I'm not starting Kareem Hunt this week either. Like I said, the Chargers are not a defense that you want to run against. So Carson Steele hitting the benches and ice pick this week. Who are our fire guys this week? Well, let's tell you. How about Tony Pollard versus the Miami Dolphins? Miami is not very good against the run as a whole, but Tony Pollard's on the field 80% of the time that the Titans are in the red zone. That's a very good thing, and Miami has the fourth highest rush touchdown rate in the NFL. So I like some Tony Pollard this week versus the Miami Dolphins. Also, like, here's another guy that I probably would have never thought that would – I'm just not a fan of his work, don't own him on any teams, never have. And that's Zach Moss of the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Carolina Panthers, who have just been garbage this season, at least on defense, with the red rifle kind of coming through last week. We'll see how long that lasts. But the Panthers have allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game. And I thought that Chase Brown was going to come through and snatch that job for Zach Moss. That's why I wasn't starting him, or I do not own him on any leagues. But I've never really been a huge Zach Moss fan. When he was with the Colts, he kind of came through after the Jonathan Taylor got hurt and had some success, but it wasn't something that I thought was going to last. This season it has thus far, and like I said, fantasy football is a week-by-week sport or game that we play. Chase Brown, I do think, is going to end up with this job, but not so fast, not yet. Carolina Panthers, not very good versus the run. You can fire up some Zach Moss this week versus Carolina. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. This has been One Dude with a Fantasy. College football game time is next. Like I said, get in touch with me on Twitter. I am at Jedi Sports Radio. You can get in touch with me on IG there also. Send me a DM if you need to, or a text message. Doesn't matter. No matter how you find me, just make sure you find me. This has been Bo Johnson on One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio 99 The Game. See y'all next week.